Amen. Would you stand with me right now? Amen. Why don't you get, if you're a brother, get with a brother. If you're a sister, get with a sister. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. I want you to pray, first of all, that I want you to pray not for just this session. I want you to pray for your heart and your mind for this whole weekend. Amen. I want you to pray for your brother. Amen. Your sister. Amen. I want you to pray right now. Pray that your heart, your mind will be open to God, the moving of His Spirit, what He's trying to the Lord. Amen. 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 And I'm going to allow you to be seated for just a moment. And I'm going to need the multimedia on. And I want to say, first of all, it's so good to be here. And I'm so glad Brother Hodge is here and Sister Hodge. They wanted to be here so bad. They were in the Philippines, and Brother Tyler Hodge and his wife, Sister Brianna, and they got in late last night, my goodness, probably in LAX, 9 o'clock-ish, and by the time they got there and got to a hotel, it had to be close to 11 to 12, and they are 16 hours different for the last few days, as they've been traveling in the Philippines, and I'm glad that they're here. Glad that Brother Bohannon is here also to teach tonight. Amen. And I appreciate them so very, very much. Now, I want to make a few comments tonight. First of all, I'm not going to take a lot of time. But I do want you to understand that I believe that you are very, very important to the kingdom of God. And one of the things that I've struggled with, and I'll be very honest, is that when we look in the Word of the Lord, one of the things that is every age group has a particular job description. And one of the things that I'm always interested in is seeing and understanding about those that are teachers. And I'm glad that you are here. If you're a teacher, would you just stand up real quick? If you're a teacher, yeah. Okay, great. Let's give them a great hand. Okay, you can be seated. Now, if you're a worship leader, maybe in children's ministry, why don't you stand up? Okay. Great. Let's give them a great hand. Well, what about if you are maybe you're a puppeteer or something like that? Would you stand up real quick? Yeah. Okay. Let's give them a great hand. What am I missing out? Maybe your support staff. You take a role, okay? Why don't you stand up real quick? Support staff. Yeah! Amen. 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 So, and how about bus ministry? Those that work on bus ministry, yeah. Let's give them a great hand. Amen. So we've got a lot of different groups, and there's a lot of different things that go into children's ministry. Last year, we looked at some figures from the Pew Research Center of Religion and Life. We found out that across the board for Christians, that 44% of all Christians were converted before the age of 13. And before the age of 18, 64% were at that time converted by the time they got 18. And then we looked and found out by the time they're 21 that somewhere high 70% are converted, and that really few people come to God after the age of 21. And we found out that in all actuality, we often spend money in the church in the wrong place. We have a tendency to be making sure that we'll have 3 or 4 weeks of revival for the church, but maybe we need to have 3 or 4 weeks of kids' revival. Because that might mean that's the biggest impact on the church. And so we looked at some of that to show you the importance of children's ministry. And so today, tonight, I want to give you 10 important things for a children's minister to remember. All of you are children ministers. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher. Notice I didn't say teacher. I didn't say just bus. I didn't say puppeteers. But anyone that's involved in children's ministry, that's all of you. All of you. There are 10 things I want you to remember. Okay? I want you to remember these. And these are very important for you in your ministry to remember and to understand. Number one, I want you to understand this one thing. Your ministry must be done through your personal relationship with the Lord. Your ministry must be done through your personal relationship with the Lord. In other words, you've got to understand you are ministering to one of the most important groups that are in the church, children. You're ministering to a group that is easily molded. You're ministering to a group who is open, who are very transparent, who are very, very trusting. And you've got to understand, you might think it's just children, but understand, it is the greatest work in the kingdom. Amen. This is the group that you have the potential to have the greatest influence with. This is the group that you have the greatest potential to have influence in. You will not most likely influence those that are older than you. It's very, very, it doesn't happen very often for someone who is younger to be able to influence someone older. That doesn't happen often. And it's very hard even to influence sometimes your own peer group. They don't accept you just as much as others do. You don't have as great of influence. But those that are younger than you, that's where you have your greatest influence. You've got to understand that I've got influence. I've got to do my ministry through my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If my walk with God, if my devotional life is not strong for God, my ministry will be weak. The Holy Ghost moving in that class will be weak. The ideas that the Holy Ghost puts in my mind will be weak. I've got to understand, my ministry must come through my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to make up in your mind that I've got to have a walk with God. I got to talk with God. I got to pray. I've got to have God, a relationship with Him, because my ministry, He's going to come through that. That's the first thing. If you're trying to do ministry without the Lord Jesus Christ, understand, you're going to fail. What are you going to fail in? You're going to fail in your influence to be able to see them get the Holy Ghost, get baptized, have a walk with God. The second thing that you must do is this. You need to become a model leader. You need to become a model leader. What does that mean? You've got to model what you want those children to know and to do. You've got to understand, they're watching you. They're watching how you're interacting with other people on the team. They're watching you by what? The way you handle yourself with others. They're watching. They know when your tongue is sharp. They know when you're out of place. And you've got to understand, I've got to model. I've got to be a leader that models. I can't demand it. I've got to model it. I've got to model the things of God. I've got to model unity. I've got to model teamwork. I've got to model holiness. How can you teach on holiness when you're not doing right? You got to model it. You got to model separation. You got to model worship. You want them to worship. Well, do you worship in service? And you can't just model it in the kids' ministry. They're seeing you Sunday morning. They're probably seeing you Sunday night. They're seeing you Wednesday night. And they're watching you. They're watching you. That's how children learn in the beginning stages of life, is by watching and looking. If they don't see you in the big church worshiping God and you're in there all the time trying to get them to worship, they're going to say, you've got to understand, I've got to model what I'm teaching. I've got to model prayer to them. I got to model worship to them. I got to model obedience to the pastor. I've got to model obedience by me being obedient to the leadership of my church. I've got to model it. That's the second thing you've got to remember. The third thing that you've got to remember is this. You must give your best to your ministry calling. You must give your best to your ministry calling. That means you've got to give your best of your time, your energy, your finances, your prayer. You've got to give it everything you've got. You cannot put anything in reserve. You cannot just say, oh, these are just kids. No, you've got to understand, this is the church of the living God. I've got to give them my best. I got to give them my best. I've got to make sure that I'm giving them my energy, my time. I got to make sure I've studied for that lesson. I've got to make sure I prepared for that lesson. I can't just come in there and talk off the top of my head. I got to give them my best. You see, that was the problem that the disciples had. You see, when Jesus ministered, he ministered to children and he would give them his best. You know what was interesting to me is when you look in the word of the Lord and you watch Jesus as he interacts with children, you're going to find out this. He's usually interacting with those that are hurting, are in need of a healing, or maybe even facing death. He's interact. It's Jairus' daughter. It's the son of the widow of Nain that he's going to raise up. It tends to be the Syrophoenician woman. It's his. It's her child. It seems like that when Jesus is ministering to children, they usually are hurting. Do you realize there's hurting kids in your classes, in your children's ministry? That's why you've got to make up your mind. If I'm going to be like Jesus, I've got to understand they look like everything's all right, but do you know their dad just walked out on their mom? Do you realize that they found their mama there on an OD? Do you realize that they're being raised by their grandma and there is no one else there? Do you understand? You got to minister to the hurting. And to minister to the hurting, you got to give your best. If you're in need of surgery, do you want a doctor that just barely made it through? Do you want a doctor that, you know what, he's been out all night, hasn't got any sleep, he's been out partying, and he's got surgery on you at 8 a.m. And he walks in, wow, what a night. Is that what you want operating on you? No. Well, understand, that's what you've got to make up in your mind. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give my best. When I come in there, they're hurting. They're hurting. They're bruised. They've been put down. They need my help. They need my hope. I got to give them hope. They need love. They need acceptance. They need to feel like somebody's concerned. They need my best. I got to give everything I can give to them. Recently, when I was in the Philippines, one of the things that I found out was this. Filipinos like to take pictures. That's an understatement. I mean, they took pictures. Is that right, brother and sister Hodge? They don't stop. And with their phones, and you're going crazy. I mean, I just preached and I'm wore out. And I'm thinking, let me escape to that bus. But then I begin to realize some of the most important thing that I could do was to model what I preach. And so I just got right in there, put a smile, put my arm around them. It didn't matter. It wasn't one. It wasn't 10. I'm telling you, it was 30 and 40 and 50. But I was doing that. Why? I knew that I had to give my best right now. That the message was not over. I had to model my love. That was important to them, to get me in that picture with them. It didn't matter to me, but it mattered to them. And I had to say, I'm tired, but big deal. I gotta do my best. I gotta keep pushing because they demand my best. The fourth thing that you've got to understand is this. God sees your act of service. Hebrews 6 and 10. Hebrews 6 and 10. Here's what I want you to remember on number 4. God sees your act of service. That's very important. You feel like nobody knows. At times you think and you felt like a babysitter, that's all I am. You've had that mentality at times that what? I'm just a babysitter. I'm here to tell you, you're not just a babysitter. You're not even a babysitter. You got to understand, God sees what you're doing. Notice, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and behavior of love which you have showed toward his name. How? In that you ministered unto the saints and do minister. God's not forgetting that you get up early on Sunday morning and you come down to the church and you work. God's not forgetting that on Saturday you're coming down, you're setting up kids' church there. When others are having a big time, you're there, you're working hours, you're giving yourself. Let me tell you, God sees it. Everything you do in his name, you're ministering to the saints. You're ministering to his people. God sees it. God sees it. He sees it when you're tired. He sees it when it's late at night and you tried to put that craft together and everything, it seemed like it didn't work. It just wouldn't come together. And you tried everything, but finally you got it. And you went home, you went to bed, and you woke up early because you finally got it figured out, but it took all day Saturday, but now you've got to get the parts together for 20. And now you're trying to do it. Understand, God sees that. Remember, God sees your acts of service to his body. Those children are part of his body. Those children are those that he loves. Everyone else wanted to push those children away, but Jesus said, allow them to come unto me. Allow them to come to me. I want them. He sees it. He knows about it. Don't think that he's not recording it. Don't think that you're not going to be rewarded for it. The fifth thing I want you to understand is this. If you minister to people who cannot pay you back, God will pay you back. If you minister to people that can't pay you back, God will pay you back. He that lendeth to the poor, giveth to God. Let me tell you, if I want anybody paying me, I'd rather have God. Hallelujah. Those kids might never be able to pay me back, but it's going to be all right because God's going to pay me back. God's going to take care of me. You see, you can minister to some people and they're going to pay you back. What do you mean? Well, I can minister to a saint of God and I can be with them during some tragedy and they'll come and they'll give me something to say, thank you, Pastor, for being there. But powerful ministry is when I give to missions. They can't pay it back, but God will. When I give to children who don't have jobs and aren't able to buy me things and aren't able to do what? To have influence on adults, they can't pay me back. But it's all right. God will. God will. God will. God will. God will. Don't you ever forget it. God's going to pay you back. God's going to pay you back. Don't you ever forget it. Every hour you spent, you're going to get paid for. Every minute you prayed for those children, you're going to get paid for. God's going to pay you back. They can never pay you back, but God will take care of it. God will pay you back. Number six, children's ministry has long-lasting results. Children's ministry has long-lasting results. Remember what we talked about last year. And I mentioned at the beginning here today, 44% of all converted Christians became that way before the age of 13. Lasting results. 64, lasting results before 18. Lasting results. How many here, you got the Holy Ghost before the age of 13? Would you stand up real quick here? Brother Smith, I know I'm the oldest in the group here, but you're probably second. How? But he's not, he didn't get it before he's 13. He didn't get the Holy Ghost before he's 13. How long you been had the Holy Ghost? Yeah, you, Brother Smith. You mean it's had lasting results? Lasting results? I've had it 50 years. It's had lasting results. It's got lasting results. Brother Booker, how many years have you had it? 30 years. It's got lasting results. I'm trying to show you something. Sister Hodge, how long you had the Holy Ghost? 38 years. It's got lasting results. Hallelujah. Brother Tyler Hodge, how long? 16 years. It's got lasting results. Amen. Sis, how long have you had the Holy Ghost? Yeah. 11 years. It's got lasting results. Sister Booker, how long for you? 29 years. I'm here to tell you, don't you ever think that when they get the Holy Ghost and they get baptized, it's not gonna last. It's gonna last. It's gonna last. You're not just doing something for the moment. You're doing something to last a lifetime. You can be seated. Wow, I wonder how many years it would have been if we would add all of these up. How many years to find? I'm here to tell you, the devil's a liar. The devil's saying they're just children. It doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. There's pastors. There's pastors' wives that are here. There's children pastors here. Why? That got the Holy Ghost under 13 and it's lasted. It's lasted. It's got lasting results. Get it out of your brain. The devil's a liar and the father of lies. The devil's a liar and the father of lies. When they get the Holy Ghost, when they get baptized, it's going to last. It's going to take them through some tough places. It's going to take them through some hard places. It's going to take them through their teenage years. It's going to take them through their young adult years. It's going to take them through and help them find a mate. It's going to do all kinds of things. Lasting results. Woo! Bah-ha-la-la. I'm coming against something right now. I'm coming against a lie of Satan. I'm here to tell you, get it out of your mind. Get it out of your mind. I'm not just taking up space. I'm not just doing this ministry. I'm affecting decades from now. Come on. Hallelujah. Number seven. Our churches become stronger when we build strong people from children's ministry. Our churches become stronger when we build strong people that started in children's ministry. Let me tell you one thing. Is anybody here in building at all? Done any construction at all? Okay, brethren, let me ask you a few questions. Is it easier to do new construction or to do renovation? New construction. Is it cheaper to do new construction or renovation? New construction. You get in the middle of a renovation, you never know what you've got inside that wall. We're going to move that wall to there over there. And you tear in that wall, and when you tear in that wall, you find, oh my goodness, I didn't know there was a gas line going through that wall. Oh my goodness, can you believe it? They buried that box over there. I never knew that was there. You get in the middle of renovation and you open up a quagmire of all kinds of junk inside that wall. And it always takes 10 trips to Home Depot to do one little thing. Trying to renovate it. Trying to make it look good. It always takes a lot more work to renovate something. Takes more work, takes more money, takes more time, more energy than new construction. When we start building in kids' ministry, it's new construction. But when I've got to try to get a hold of them and try to help them when they're already single adults and they've got all kinds of baggage of being out in the world and all kinds of dumb, crazy stuff they did and so many scars. And when you get in there, it's a web of confusion and heartache. It takes so much more time. It takes so much more energy. And sometimes you don't know if you'll ever get it right. But when you get a hold of a child, it's new construction. It's new construction. I'm going to build me a, hallelujah, a revival church. It's new construction. I'm going to teach them how to pray. I'm going to teach them how to make right decisions. I'm going to teach them to make right choices. I'm going to help them be clean and pure and not have all the baggage. How many of you are over 30 and you've been living for the Lord less than, let's say, 10 years? Stand up real quick. You're over 30, you've been living for the Lord less than 10 years. Have you ever felt like, I wish I could have known about this when I was a child? Have you ever said how much heartache I could have kept out of my life? How much pain I could have kept out of my life? Oh, yeah. Have you had to work through some junk that you did that you don't want anybody to know about? Have you had to work through some pain and wrong decisions and choices that have hurt you, have harmed you? Have you had the devil come back and haunt you with them and condemn you? Oh yes, I'm glad you've came to God. But would to God you could tell every child, you gotta live for God now. I'm in the middle of a new project. I'm building a church, but I'm starting with new construction. Yes. You can be seated. You see, when you're in children's ministry, that's what you're doing. You're building a church. You're building a church. And you're doing it with new construction, Brother Philip. You're doing it with new construction. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They've never been out in the world going to taste of that junk. They're never going to be beaten up by the devil over all the crazy things they've done. And guess what happens? The church gets stronger because they've never been there. They don't know what it's like. They just got a love for God and the house of God and the things of God. Oh, yeah, I remember one of our youth pastors that we had at our church. The wife became pregnant. They said, we're going to have to quit being youth pastor. Our family's telling us that, you know, there's no way. I said, you're making the wrong choice. They said, why? I'll tell you why. Because if you bring them here, and they're here, and this is all they know. That's what they think is normal. And all they think is, we go to church all the time. We go when it's raining. We go. We minister. We work. What was I telling them? You train up a child in the way it should go. And when it's old, it will not depart. That child, this is all they'll know. Yeah. I'll never forget, we had a evangelists that were helping us out here in Redlands for about 6 months. Him and his wife had never had any children. She came to my wife and said, my husband, it's bit him. He's been around this church and he's seen these babies and he's wanting a baby. And we had already talked about years ago, we weren't not going to have any kids. And she says, I just don't know. We're evangelizing. And you know, our lifestyle is really... it's really crazy, you know. We got late nights, midnight, and you know, and we're going every night, and we're doing this and that. My wife looked at her and said, that baby will adapt to anything, the environment that it's put in, and it will think that that is normal, and everything will be all right. So don't you worry about it. You just go ahead and have that baby, and when you do, you raise that little one. You put it in the prayer room with you. You walk it in the house of God. You fly it all over the world. That's all it will do. No, that's what we're talking about. New construction. You're building the church. You're building the church with new construction. Untainted, no sin, untainted with preconceived ideas, no baggage to carry. Notice what the book, the writer of Hebrews said, that what? Lay aside, that what? You got to lay aside every weight. There's some baggage that you can get in life. That baggage can weigh you down. Weigh your mind, your heart. But you, let me tell you, you're involved in new construction. Maybe I think I ought to just give up preaching here on Sunday morning and go in there. Maybe that's where I really need to be at, because guess what? That's where new construction is. Woo! I might be able to see more happen in there in the kids' ministry than I do out here sometimes with old remodel projects. Yeah. Because on some of these old walls that I'm looking at, and the things I got tearing into them, and there's all kinds of stuff in there. But when I'm over there with them, they're just transparent, and they're just real, and they're just genuine. They just tell you how it is. They just love you no matter what you've done. They don't get offended and mad at you. Oh, you're in the greatest place there could be. You're in new construction. Why don't you build the church? Why don't you build the church for the next 5 years, the 10 years, 20 years with new construction? Number eight, children must grow in God and become mature in God. We're talking about 10 things you've got to remember. Children must grow in God and become mature in God. You got to understand this one thing. You got to raise the bar. You got to raise the bar. If you keep the bar down here, that's all they'll ever do. You put the bar up here, they'll stretch. They'll do it. Let me tell you. The higher you put the bar, the more they're going to grow. You can't think about. You've got to understand. Children are made to grow. A child that their pants don't start looking like that, something's messed up, isn't it? They're made to grow. You know, when I had my boys, it was frustrating sometimes because it seemed like I was always buying them clothes. Their shoes were not just wearing out, but that what was happening is their feet were getting bigger. Their legs were getting longer. Children grow. Did you know that? They're made to grow. They're made to grow spiritually also. They're made to be challenged, to know more than they know today, more than they did last week. You gotta challenge them to grow. You gotta challenge them to remember scripture. You gotta challenge them to know doctrine. You gotta challenge them to worship. They've gotta grow. If they don't grow, there's a problem. What's happening? They're not getting the right food. If they're not growing, you might not give them the right food. You might not be feeding them right. They got to grow. And if they don't grow, they get deformed. And when they get deformed, they become monsters. They become aliens. When you sit down and think about maybe there's an age that you teach, and you teach them for a year. Have you set up what you want them to know at the end of that year? Or are you just, well, I just got to get in there and teach. I said, yeah. Or have you figured out, you know, when they're getting ready to go in the junior high class, I want to make sure they know this. Maybe before they go, you need to sit down and find out and test them to find out. You know what? Before you get into the junior high class, I want to find out, what do you know? Maybe you need to sit down if you teach the second graders. Don't you understand that second grade teachers in schools, they have a standard of measurement they want that student to know before they advance? Why don't we do that in the church? Because we're too lazy to think. Oh, I'm just going to get in there. No, why don't you get your brain, if you got one, put it in gear. Why don't you say, you know what? First graders, okay, I'm going to have them for a year. By the time of the end of the year, what do I want them to know? I want to know them to know these 10 scriptures. I want them to know to be able to tell me all 12 disciples. I want them to be able to tell me all the books of the Old and New Testament. Why don't you get some marker? Here's the reason why. It will tell if you're a good teacher or not. And you don't want to know that, do you? It'll tell if you're doing your job. Oh, it's quiet right now. Isn't this the greatest work in the world? Isn't this the most eternal work of the world? Isn't this the thing that's going to last when everything else is gone? I got to give my best. I got to make them grow. I got to make them grow. They were made to grow. They like challenges. Okay, I'm moving on. Number 9. We must let children minister and serve each other. For many years, we've told kids, sit down, be quiet. And they learned how to sit down and be quiet. And we wonder why, when they're teenagers, they sit down and don't worship. Just sit down and be quiet, kids. That's it. And so they've learned that what I need to do when I come to church, sit down and be quiet. So teenagers, they sit down. And yeah, they're quiet as long as you're not looking at them. But guess what? They're sit down. And you want them to worship and you want them to magnify God. You want them to get, well, guess what? They didn't learn it in kids' church. They didn't learn it in Sunday school. They were just told. And then, guess what? When they get older, they don't know how to serve in the church. They just know how to come to church, sit down and be quiet. What if we started making them minister? What if we start saying in our children's ministries, yeah, you're the usher, and you're the usher, and you're the song leader, and you're gonna pound on this box we've got for drums. Maybe ushers would appear when they got older, and worship leaders would be there, and musicians would be there, and people that knew how to sing and worship, and others knew how to teach. What would be wrong with telling one of yours next week, we're going to be talking about the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I want you to tell the story. Well, they're not going to get it right. Come on, you're the adult. You can fix anything. What's the wrong? Maybe we need to get something unscrewed in our brain that says, why don't we right now start letting them minister all over our children's ministry? Oh, he's going to get up and talk about that 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's going to take him 30 seconds. But you know what's going to happen? He will have thought about it all week. He would have read the story 2 or 3 times. He would have repeated it to dad or mom. You think he'll ever forget that one? What would happen if you said, next Sunday, I want you to lead in this song, Jesus, our superhero. Do you think they're going to sing it that week? You think they're going to talk to their dad and mom about it? You think they're going to do everything? They're going to tell their friends, I'm leading songs next week at Sunday school. And all of a sudden, they might even get them to come to church. If we, you got to understand, we're building the church. You're building leaders for the future. Change your thinking. Maybe if we started it there, we would have all the adults that came through our church involved in ministry. The last thing, and I stop. I've probably taken too much time, but we'll just forgive an old man. The last thing, you must help in the recruitment of other children's workers. The 10th thing for you to remember, children worker, you must help in the recruitment of children's workers. What do you mean? Quit leaving it to the children's ministry director. When you love what you're doing, you'll tell other people. And you know what? Your circle of friends will be different than his circle or her circle. And you, if you children's workers would get excited about it, quit talking it down, quit gossiping and saying, oh, they're this. Why don't you start saying, you know what? I'm having so much fun that it gets a hold of you that you will influence others to get involved. If there's not enough workers, why don't you start talking it up? Quit leaving it to the pastor. Quit leaving it to the director. You get on fire for God and talk it up. You got to make up in your mind. If this is important to you, you're going to talk about it, and you're going to talk about it with passion. And you're going to talk about it with desire. And it's going to do something to them. Because the greatest thing is this. When you have passion. When you got a fire burning within. It will get on other people. And when it does, you'll get your assistant that you want. You'll get your helper that you want. Amen. Stand with me. Hallelujah. I want you to come around the front right now. Just come. I want you to raise your hands. I want you to start talking to God right now, saying, God, get these 10 things in my mind. Get these 10 things in my heart, God. I got to remember them, God. I got to remember them, God. I've got to get a hold of these, God. I've got to have these in my life, God. I've got to understand, God. I got such a big job. I got such an important job. Oh, God, I'm building the church of tomorrow. I'm building workers and ministries, God. Oh, God, I'm doing something that's got lasting results. I'm doing something that's going to outlive me, God. Oh, God. That's it. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Get a hold of God. Get a hold of God. That's it right now. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Oh, God, I need you. I want you, God. I want you, God. Help me right now. Oh, God, help me remember. Help me remember, God. Help me remember, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Open up my memory, God. I'm making lasting results. I'm doing lasting things. Oh, in the name of Jesus. That's a Holy Ghost talking tongues. Go ahead. That's God on you right now. Oh, God. I believe you, God. I believe you, God. I believe you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Now I want you to put your hand on your head right now. I want you to pray for your memory. God, help me remember these things. Help me remember these things. Help me remember these things. Psalm 71. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help me, God. Help me, God. Help me, God. God, I've got to understand. I've got to understand, God. It's new construction. It's new construction. It's new construction, God. The church is being built with new construction. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to get with a brother, a brother, get with a brother, a sister, get with a sister. I want you to pray for one another right now. I want you to pray for one another right now. In the name of Jesus. Hello. Hallelujah. 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 Anoint my brother. God, we've got to do a lasting work. We've got to do a work, God. Kaya la 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 pose. God, we got to make a difference. We got to train ministers for the future. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, la pacaya la 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 pasacaye asea. Shala la 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 pacaye asea. Come on. Come on, children's ministers. You gotta help them to grow. You gotta make them grow. You gotta challenge them. You gotta give your best. You gotta do your best. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. You're going to pay, God. You see every act, God. You see every minute. You see every dollar that's put in. You're going to take care of us. Hallelujah. I would challenge you to take time and come to grips and figure out what's your purpose for the rest of your life. Last year I sat down, asked myself, what's my purpose? I don't know how many years I have to live. Might be 20. Might be less than 20. I don't know. But the Lord gave these scriptures to me. Oh God, you gave me the Holy Ghost when I was 12. Thou hast taught me from my youth. And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that's to come. I purposed in my life, I will give myself to the next generations. God gave me the Holy Ghost when I was 12. I got baptized. He's taught me so many things that I've made my mind up. I'm old and I'm getting gray-headed, but I know one thing, God. I'm going to teach youth. I'm going to teach children. I'm going to teach the next generation. I'm going to tell them of thy strength. I'm going to talk about your power, God. I don't care. The reason I'm here is not because of you. I'm here tonight because of those that you teach. Because that's my concern. That's my purpose. They are my purpose. You got to make up in your mind. You got to get something that's going to outlive you. You got to make up in your mind. I've got to show them thy strength. I've got to show them thy power. I got to let them know there is a God. He answers prayer. You got to be faithful. You got to be real. You got to be consistent. You got to make up in your mind. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for all of these that are here today. I pray that you would help them. Lord, help them remember these 10 things. Help these 10 things challenge them every time they sit down to become the greatest teachers, children's workers there's ever been. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah.